The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf tzaditet. Today's daf is being studied for the Hatzlacha of Yosef ben Sarah and his family, donated by Anonymous. May Hashem bless Yosef ben Sarah and his family with osher v'chavod, hatzlacha u'briut, v'chol milid demetav. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat hacham Abraham Za'afrani ben Latifa. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Saditet Amud Rishon, right on the top line. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a braita. Yesh choletz le'imo misafek. There is a case where a fellow will actually make halitza to his mother misafek. Even though we learned in the first Mishnah of the Masechet that of course there is no halitza or yibum to the arayot. The mother is one of the 15 arayot. But there is a case that can come out where a fellow can make a safek at least. He has to make a halitza to his mother. We'll see the case immediately. La'achoto misafek. In the same case, you can make also halitza to his sister misafek, even though she's one of the 15 adayot. Libito misafek. Similarly, a person can make halitza to his daughter misafek, again, even though she is one of the 15 adayot, it still can happen. Now the Gemara is going to give us each scenario individually. Kesad immo. What's the case of immo? So Kesad, Gemara says, Ketzad, but a imo v'isha acheret, which means, let's say he has his mother and he has another lady. There is another lady setting up the case. V'lahen shene zecharim, and they have two sons respectively. V'chazru v'yaldu shene zecharim b'machbo. And they ended up, these same ladies ended up having other children. But what? B'machbo, where the children got mixed up. Like we learned yesterday. So now you have a safek who those sons belong to. Uba bena shilzu venasa imo shilze. So one of the sons went and married the mother of the other one, which means the husbands died, and the fellow married the other mother, the mother, ubena shilzu, and the son of this one. We'll see all the cases in Rashi, be patient. Nasa imo shilze. Correct. Umetu, and then they died below banim, without children. Ze choletz l'shtehen, veze choletz l'shtehen. So each one has to make halitza to both ladies. Nimsa kol echad ve'echad choletz le'imo misafek. Now let's read Rashi, you'll see the case clearly. Second line in Rashi, imo v'isha acheret sheyaldu shne zecharim b'machbo, which means they had two children b'machbo, like we learned. They got mixed up, it was dark, so they don't know who those children are. V'hu echad mehen, and he is one of them. V'lahen shne zecharim v'da'in, which means these ladies also have vadai children, respectively. Kegon, I give you the case. Rachel eshet Yaakov. Rachel is married to Yaakov. Shayala Yosef memenu. Yosef is the vadai. Vechana eshet Reuben. Shayala Hesron memenu. So those are the vadais. Vechazru viyaldu shne zecharim b'machbo. Now subsequently, when they had two more children, those are the sefikot. Umetu Yaakov Reuven. So now Yaakov and Reuven died. So who married their wives? Uba Yosef benah shel Rachel. He's the vadai. Venasa Chana imo shel Hesron. He married Chana. VeHesron nasa et Rachel. So they switched, which means each one married the respective other mother. Umetu Yosef veHesron. So now Yosef and Hesron, they themselves died. Venafnu lifnei ha'tarovet. Now they fell in front of these children that are safek. Rachel lifnei benah shel Hana. Rachel falls in front of the sons of Hana, shehu achi Hesron, was the brothers of Hesron, of his her husband. Vehana lifnei benah shel Rachel. Hana falls in front of the children of Rachel, shehu achi Yosef. That's the brothers of her husband. Umitok she'en yadua mi bena umi yibna. But in this case, over you don't know who the actual brother is. You don't know exactly which one is the yavam and which one is the son. So therefore, siricha chalitza mishnein. So she has to get, which is each respective lady, Hana and Rachel, need a chalitza from both sons. Nimsa kol echad ve'arad choletz le'imo misafek. So you have a case over here where one of the children is actually giving a chalitza to his mother. And therefore it's misafek, because you don't know which one is the son and which one is the yavam. So that's the first case over here of a case of imo misafek. Gemara continues with the second case, le'achoto misafek kesat. I mean, what's the case where a person can make halitza to his sister misafek? Well, Gemara says, imo v'isha acheret, his mother and another lady, sheyaldu shte nekevot b'machbo. They gave birth to two nekevot, girls, b'machbo, so those are the taruvot, those are the mixed ones, which you don't know who they belong to. Uba u achehen shelo meota haem. So two brothers came along, not from the same mother, vinasum, and married them. We'll see how that's legal. Umetu belo banim. And they died without children. Choletz lishtehem. So now those brothers have to make chalitza to both. Nimsa choletz laachoto misafek. So he's making chalitza to his sister misafek. Now I'm going to read you the case over here. It's a little clearer. I'm reading from the Nahalat Sevi. It's the picture number Kuf Ayin Bet. Okay, now there's different girsaot in Rashi. We are going to read it according to the first girsa. It's actually Kuf Ayin Aleph. And I give you the case as follows. You have over here, Avraham is married to Sarah. Okay, Avraham's married to Sarah, and they have, let's say, a son, Reuven. Okay, Avraham dies. Sarah goes and gets married to somebody else. And that somebody else, let's say she gets married to Yaakov, that somebody else also has a wife already. And now they have two daughters, and they become Bnei Ta'aruvot. You don't know who the daughters are. Are they Sarah's daughters or are they Rivka's daughters? Fine. So that, they'll call the two daughters Dinan Tamar, let's say, for argument's sake. Who marries them? Well, Avraham, this fellow that was originally married to Sarah, he had two other sons from a different marriage. So let's call them Dan v'Asher. Right? Dan v'Asher go marry Dina and Tamar, which is 100% legal marriage. And then what happens? Dan and Asher die. So now you have Dina and Tamar are going to fall into a subject of Yibum, technically. So who makes the Yibum? Technically, it's Reuven. But it says Reuven cannot make the Yibum. He has to make Halitza to both Dina and Tamar. Well, on the side that those Dan and Asher are really his brothers. So therefore, Reuven has a regular Yibum. But on the side over there, that these ladies over here are really from the sister from the other wife. So therefore, it's not subject to Yibum, and therefore they have to make a halitza l'shtehem. Again, this is a case misafek, and that's why. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says the case as well. Just to read it inside. Kach shenuya b'tosifta imo sheyalda miish acher, which means his mother. Sheyalda miish acher shenasa lachan mitat abiv v'yalda im isha acheret. Shtehen, both those ladies, shten nekevot, ve'en yadua eze bat le'ezu. You don't know the girls who they belong to, which mother. Correct. Im el'ezeem. Ve'amdu shene achin. So two brothers, shayu leze me'abiv shelo me'ibo, ונשאום לשתי הנקבות הללו, המעורבות, פיין. ונפלו שתיהן לפני זה ליבום. That they fell to this guy, to Yibum. Ve'achat mehen, the only problem is, one of these girls over here, achoto me'imo, could be, possibly, his sister from his mother. Because again, this Sarah was married to Avram, they had Reuven. This Sarah now went married somebody else and had this benet arubot. So if those girls are Sarah's girls, so if Reuven and those girls are sisters, and therefore there's no Yibum in such a case. So that she's concluding says, V'ilu hayam makira. Now, if you recognized her, which is if you knew exactly which the daughter was, which the sister was, V'ayta sericha halitza. But now you would not need a halitza at all. V'achshav she'en makira. But now you don't know. So one of them over there, it's on the side that you don't know. So if you have to make a that's the first way that she sets up the case, and that's the, really the maskana. He brings another way of learning it, but he rejects it because he has different questions, so we'll suffice with this pshat in Rashi. If you allow me to say it just one more time, just for clarity purposes again. So you have this guy, Avraham, let's say, make it clear, let's say it this way. Avraham had two sons already. Those sons, put them on the side. So those sons existed already, we call them Dan Vasher. Avraham got married to Sarah. They had a son called Reuven. Avraham died. Sarah went along now and married somebody else. So now, when he married, she married somebody else. There was another wife there as well. They had two daughters. The two daughters are now mixed up. So now it's possible that these daughters over here are actually Reuven's sisters. It's possible not. Okay, they went along and they got married to Dan Ve'asher, okay, those brothers. And what happened? They died, Dan Ve'asher, those Avraham's children. And now Dinah and Tamar fall to a subject of a potential Yibum. To who? To the brothers. Reuven is the brother of Dan and Asher. That's no question. They both have the same father, Avraham, as we said. So the question is, what does Reuven have to do? He makes a halitza to both these ladies. Why does he make a halitza to both these ladies over here? Because Safek, one of them might be his sister. One of his sister. Ahoto. That's right. Ahoto. But we don't know which one. And therefore, since you don't know, you have to make a halitza to both. Comes the Gemara and says, so that's the case of Ahoto. Now we give the case of Bito. Comes the Gemara and says, Libito misafek. Sometimes you have to give a halitza. To a person has to give a halitza to his daughter, misafek. What's the case? Kesad ishto v'isha acheret, which is, let's say, a guy's wife and another lady. She yaldu shte nekevot b'machbo. Okay, so they gave birth to two girls b'machbo, so they got mixed up. You don't know who they belong to. Uba'u achehen. So now came other brothers, two brothers, v'nas'um, and married them. Good. And what happened? Umet. See, from Rashi and from the same father. Umet. And then those guys died. Belo banim. So now, ze choletz libito misafek, veze choletz libito misafek. Let's read Rashi. Please, Rashi. Ishto v'isha acheret. She brings the case clearly. Eshet Reuven ve'eshet Kalev. Okay. Sheyaldu shte nekevot b'machbo. Nimset ha'achat bito. Which means one of these girls over here is his daughter. Uba'u shene acher Reuven. The brothers of Reuven went v'nasum. Marry them. No problem. They're allowed to marry, let's say, their niece. Nimsar Reuven choletz libito misafek. So now it comes out, when he dies, Reuven now is making a halitza to his daughter, misafek shishten sirichot halitza. Now as she speaks out again, v'mayam makir bito, of course if you knew which one his daughter was, hayta petura. Good. V'im shne ache kalev nasum, same side and the other way. Which is, let's say, you have another guy, so the brothers of Kalev married these girls. Hare Kalev choletz libito misafek. Fine. And then she brings from the Lashon Mori, but this is the pshat that he takes as a cause. So we have three cases that we learned so far. We have a case of a person could be choletz le'imo misafek. We saw a case could be choletz la'achoto misafek. And then we had a case of bito misafek. Now the Gemara comes on to bring some other interesting cases that can happen. Comes Gemara and says, Tanya, we have a braita. Ya Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir said, Ish ve'isha pe'amim shemolidin hamesh umot. It's possible that a husband and a wife can bring to the world five different classes of children of status. Right. What are they? Kesad. That's the case. Yisrael shelakach eved v'shivcha min hashuk. Okay, Yisrael went to the marketplace, bought an eved v'shivcha. V'lahen shene banim. So they have two children. Now the children at that point over there, before they're bought by the Yisrael, are considered akum. They're considered goyim. V'nitgayer echad mem. So one of them converted. So now already they have one goy and one Jew. Nimsa echad ger ve'echad oved kochavim. So we need three more. Hitbilan l'shem avdut. So now the owner, the Jewish owner, he dipped them in the mikveh l'shem avdut. V'niskeku zelazeh. All right, now they're allowed to be with each other. So the eved went with the shefha. Hare kan ger. Right, ve'ovet kuchavim, ve'eved. Now you have the third class. You have the eved, because what's the product of an eved and a shifcha? You have an eved. Shechrer et ha-shifcha. So now the master went along and he freed the shifcha, but what did he do? U'ba'aleha. So now, u'ba'aleha ha-eved. So now the eved went with her. Now what's the deen if an eved goes with a Yisraelita, because she's Jewish now. So the deen is, she becomes the child of a mamzer. Harekans, what do you have? You have four classes. You have the ger, you have the oved kuchavim, the eved memzer. Because now, again, this was shefah that's freed, is considered a regular Israelite, went with the eved, that brings a memzer. Shechrer shenehem, now he ends up freeing them both. V'si'an zelazeh, and they got married to each other. Harekan ger, oved kuchavim, the eved memzer, the Israel. The child that comes out of the free David and Shifra is a full-fledged Jew. So if we have a case where from two people, you can have five sons, and each one is considered a different status, different class of person. So Gemara says, what's the Hadush? Which means all these rules, seemingly, we know already. So Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Hadush is. Oved kochavim ve'eved haba al bat Yisrael habalad mamzer. Which is teaching the Hadush that this right has found the Shita that says that an Oved kochavim, or let's say an Eved that goes with a Bat Israel, the child indeed is going to be a Mamzer. If you don't go with that Shita, then you don't have the five cases. Right. So that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and continues.
What do we learn from here?
Right, what do we learn from here? So we learn from here that there's a Shita that says...
You don't learn
Ovet Kuchavim. No, Ovet Kuchavim you don't. But you know, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. You learn Eved from Eved. Eved that goes with Israel, the child's a Mamzer. Who are Dina a Goy? I mean, that's what it is. What's Eved? The Eved and a Goy. It's the same status.
No,
Legabem Mamzer. Legabem Mamzer.
What makes it distinct?
Because that's what the Braita is saying. According to that Shita, this child will be a Mamzer. Lapuke, the other Shita that's.
The uniqueness is that Enkidushin Tufsin, but it's not Chavek.
Right.
And that's equal between Eved and Oved.
Right, that's the commonality between the Eved. Kiddushin's not Tofes in these cases over here. It's no Kiddushin, that's not going to be Akiva. That said that when there's no Eved Kiddushin, still the child can be a Mamzer. Comes the Gemara gives another case. Tanu Rabbanan, we give a Braita. The Braita speaks out an interesting case. Listen to the case of the Braita. Yesh mocher et abiv. It's possible that a person will sell his own father le'agbot imo ketubata in order to get his mother the payment for the ketubah. Which means, let's say, the father died, he didn't have money in his estate to pay the ketubah, so he could have a case where the child will sell his own father to get money to pay his mother off the ketubah. How is this possible? Ketzad, what's the case? She says, Yisrael lakach eved v'shifcha min hashuk. Okay, Yisrael went again to the market, bought an eved v'shifcha. Ve'lahem ben. And they have a son, as we learned earlier. That son is considered an oved kochavim. He's a goy. V'shechrer et ha-shifcha. And then subsequently, the master went and freed up the shifcha. Now she becomes full-fledged Jewish. V'nas'ah. And he married her. He's allowed to marry her. She's Jewish. Ve'amad v'chatav kol nechasav libna. Oh, so he wrote in the Ketubah that all his nechasim, all his assets are going to go to who? To her son. Now, included in those assets is that Eved, which means now one of the assets that go to the son is his father, who is an Eved. Nimsa, ze mocheret abiv lehagbot le'imo ketubatah. Which it comes out now, the guy died, the master died, he didn't have money for the ketubah, the mother, the wife wants ketubah. So the son now takes his own father, who's an Eved, sells him, gets the money, pays off the ketubah. So the Gemara says, Maika Mashma'alan, so what are you teaching me? What's the Hiddush in such a case? So Gemara says, a big Hiddush. Kular Bimi'iri, which means the first Shita, the first Braita that we quoted above, where we said, Hayara Bimi'iri Omer, Ish v'isha pa'amim shemonedim hamesh umot. That's clearly to be Meir. The sefa of this braita, in this case we have a guy selling his father, is also going alibah, the Rabbi Meir that says what? Ve'avda metaltele. That he holds an eved has a deen of metaltelin. What is metaltelin meaning? Movable goods. Which means this child over here can take the
father.
It was a din of metatlim and sell him. So the Tosafot explains over here, Afalgav, the meaning Tosafot Mani, Afalgav, the Bechot Duchta, Amrin Hukshu Avadim the Karkaot, even though normally we have a din, that an Eved has a din of Karka. Right. That's why, for example, a master can bequeath his Avadim to his children. Why? Because an Eved has a din of Karka. And therefore, they bequeath it like land. However, so why do we consider them like metaltele movables over here? Because really the mother, the wife, is not so mechdat that she's going to get this eved as a payment for the ketubah. Why? Because they are movables in that sense. It's not a fixed item. The eved could die or the eved could run away. So therefore we consider them over here like metaltelin, and therefore he can go and sell it, and therefore once he goes and sells, he can take the money and give it. Look at Rashi, please. Rashi says, "Kulad bi meiri ha matnita batraita," which is this last part of the braita. The yesh mocher bi meir name amra v'sefad kamaiti. It's the end of the original braita, but it's also shtetz bi meir. Umeshmalki ketani eved mishubad the ketubah. This eved over here becomes mishubad actually to the ketubah, which means he's he can take payment from him. Rabbi Meir sabar metaltelim mishtabede the ketubah. See, according to Rabbi Meir, his shita is that all metaltelin become mishubad to the ketubah, and it's a shita in ketubot. And therefore, since the eved has din of metaltelin, is also there's a shabud on the eved. Therefore, he can be taken as payment for the ketubah. So
why do you have to say it's the shita's yachid that it's evidence of metal?
Because look, the Gemara gives another answer. That's the next answer. Gemara says v'iba et ema hakamash malan avda kimekarka dame. The Gemara says, oh, we can say that Hiddush is teaching that an Eved is like Karka. What does it mean it's like Karka? So Tosfot explains, V'lishna d'chashivlu mekarkei sabar d'samcha d'arta ilavayu kemo karkaot. Which means she's somek da'at on this Eved over here, just like she's somek da'at on Karka. So the first Shita says, really, she's not somek da'at over here, but since we consider it like metaltelin, you can pay from the metaltelin, so right. It's okay. The second Shita says, no, it's like Karka, and therefore she can't be, she is so mechdat on, and therefore either way, he would be able to sell his father in order to get the ketubah. Sure. Comes the next Mishnah. Ha'isha, shenit'arev valda bevlad kalata. You have a lady over here, her child got mixed up with the child of her daughter-in-law. So again, just keep the case over here of the veladot that got mixed up over here, but now we're giving a case of exactly his granddaughter, which is the lady that had a child, but also the kala, her daughter-in-law had the child. You don't know who it's from because it was bin Mahmoud, was in the dark, and now we're going to see what happens. So now what happened? They got older. They were boys. So they got married to ladies, umetu, and then they died, umetu. Now, comma, bene hakala. So now the sons of the children of the kala holsin velo miyabemin. They make a halitza, but they do not make a yibum. Why? Shu safek eshet achiv, which means on the side that it's eshet achiv, that's good. That's called the yibum. Which means on the side that really there was their brother that died, so therefore they're making what's called a yibum. However, safek eshet achi abiv, but it's also a safek that they might be his aunt. Which means if it's really over here, his father's brother's child or wife, so therefore you have over here a problem of aunt. So therefore it's one of the arayot. So therefore in this case over here, you cannot allow them to make a yibum. So the deen is they make chalitza to both, which means right. On the side of the kala, the concern is they're going up. So therefore you're going up, you have a problem of there might be the aunt, and therefore it's going to be asur. However, going down would be different. The Mishnah says, Bnei zekenah, but the sons of the zekenah, or cholzin, either make a halitza if they want, or miyabimin. They even have the option to make yibum. Why? Shesafek eshet achif. Again, so you have the safek over here. Could be it's their brother that died, and therefore they're making a yibum. The eshet ben achiv. Or it is the wife of their nephew. And therefore there's no problem either way. Right. And therefore, in this case over here, the bnei zekenah have a option to yibum, whereas the bnei hakala only have an option of halitza. The Gemara now, the Mishnah gives the other side. Metu akesherim. Now let's say the vadais. We'll call the kesherim the vadais, which means they died. Okay, which means they got married and they died. So now they're subject to yibum or halitza. So now it's going to be the reverse. The Mishnah says hatarubot metu akesherim hatarubot lebnei hazekenah. So the tarubot, which means those are the ones that are the safek. Those have to make a halitza and not a yibum. Why? You're right. On one side, it's a fact that they were his brother, and therefore it's subject to yibum. However, on the other side, it's ve'eshet achi abiv. On the other side, the safek is going to be that she was actually, it's the wife of his father's brother. And that's one of the arayot. However, the bnei hakala, but on the side of the bnei hakala, echad choletz ve'echad miyabim. So again, for the same reason that we said over there, because one of them is going to be a possible yibum, which is not a problem, and it's not going to be a problem because it's going to be his brother's son's wife, which is not a problem. So therefore, just to have the cases, it depends who died, if it was the bnei tarubot or the vadai, so it's going to make a difference to which side, the zekenah, bnei zekenah, the bnei kala, which one's going to make a yibum or a halitza. Just to... Okay, I think that's clear that she doesn't speak too much over here. Okay? If you'll allow me just to speak out these cases with some names, just for the people that are listening to it, just to make it a little more palatable. Okay, we're giving the case over here. Aisha shenit arev valda bevilad kalata. Okay? So we're starting over here. You have a lady, Rachel. Okay? She's the wife of Yaakov, the way they have it over here, and she's the kala of Sarah. Okay, very good. Yalda shne banim. Okay, she had two children. Reuven, which is the vadai, no problem about Reuven. Ve'achad zachar she'enu yadua. Okay, and then they have the safek. Let's say one child that's a safek. Gam the Sarah, which is her mother-in-law, haya ben zachar, also had a child. They have him over here as Yitzhak. She'enu, and then also they have a son, she'enu yadua. That's also a son that's not yadua. It's also mixed up. So bottom line, the children over here are mixed up between the mother-in-law, so we'll call her Sarah, and the daughter-in-law, that was called Rachel. So what happened? So now they got older. So what happened? So these Bnei Tarubot, they got married and then they died. So then the Mishnah says over here, in this case over here, the Bnei Kala, they're going to have to make Halitza. Why? Well, on one side, technically, it's possible they could be their brother, and therefore you had a yibum. But on the other side, it's possible that what? It's his father's brother's wife. So it's an aunt. And therefore it's going to be a sur. So when they're kala, they have to make a halitza across the board. However, the bene zekena, they're able to make halitza on one and yibum on the other, because for them, either it's yibum or and there's no problem of going with, let's say they're, it would be a nephew, which is the nephew's wife, which would not be a problem. So that's the first case of the Mishnah, and then the reverse would be the metu akesherim. So in that case, over there, as we said, it would be the opposite. Comes the Mishnah, continues into other cases. Kohenet shenitarev valda bevelad shefchata. You have a kohenet. Her child got mixed up with the child of the shefcha. So now we want to know what's the dinim that come out with this child. So the Mishnah gives a couple of nafkaminot. Hare elu ochlim betruma. The child can eat truma. If it's the son of the kohenet, so therefore it's a kohen. Right. Kohen eats teruma. If it's the shifcha, so therefore that's considered kinyan kaspo, and the deen is kinyan kaspo, also eats teruma. So if a man of shach, that child has no problem to eat teruma. Okay. Now, what's the next deen? Vecholkin helek echad begorin. Which means when they go to the granary to collect the teruma, they only get one helik. Now, chaura, that's pashut. What do you mean? Of course they should only get one helik, because one of them is a kohen and one of them is a non-kohen. So the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean, holkim, helik, ehad, begorin. But we continue. Ve'enan mitame'im lemetin. Well, that's clear. They're not allowed to mitame' to metin. Well, let's be clear over here. They cannot be mitame' to metin that are not their relatives.
Right.
Which means, because really even a kohen is allowed to be mitameh to his relatives. So therefore we're talking about stam a met, because on the side that it's a shifcha, that it's a son of the shifcha, ever can knows no problem. But on the side that it's a kohen, it's going to have a problem the gabeh to ma, so both of them cannot be mitameh to non-relatives. Ve'enam nos'im nashim. Now they're not allowed to get married. Ben kesherot ben pesulot. And as she explains, what does it mean, ben kesherot? Mishum evet, which is a regular keshera. Obviously, they cannot get married to, because maybe one of them is a evet. Next, as she, ben pesulot, can't go on shifcha. Can't get married to pesula either, because maybe he's a kohen. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Higdilu. Now, let's say they grew up. They became older. Hatarabot, these children that were mixed up. So what do they do? They free each other. Which means, let's say the father of this shifcha, right? Let's say the father died. So now they themselves go to each other, the children over here, and they free each other. So now they both, at least you have one kohen over here, and you have one Yisrael. So what's the deen now with them? Well, nos'im nashim ru'uyot ha-kehuna. Well, now they're allowed to marry women that would be befitting to the kehuna. For example, they're not allowed to marry, let's say, a divorcee, because if one of them is a kohen, but they can marry a regular Yisrael, it would be no problem. Because once already they become free, even the Eved now becomes full-fledged Jew. So you have no problem with that. So comes the Gemishtakitus, ve'ena mitame'im. Lemitim. Okay, also, since it's still mixed up, you have a kohen in there, cannot be mitameh to the mitim still. Ve'im nitmeu. But if they did become tameh, enam sofgim ha'arba'im. They do not receive malkut. Why not? Rashi says, dechol chad amar, ana lav kohen ana. Which is, each one could come along and say, listen, I'm not the kohen over here. So really, it's hard to give a hatra'ah. When you give malkut to somebody, you have to give him a hatra'ah. So it's a hatra'ah. You don't know who the guy is over here. You don't know if he's a kohen or not. So therefore, you cannot give him a malkut. Ve'enam ochlim betruma. Well, that's clear. They're not allowed to eat teruma, because for safek, one of them is a non-kohen. V'imachlu. If they ate, en mishalmin keren v'chomesh. They do not pay Kerem v'chomesh. Because whenever we're going to discuss a monetary issue with these two guys over here, each one can come along and say, what do you want? I'm a Kohen. And we have a rule that says, Amotzi mechavero, alavaraya. So you want me to pay now Kerem v'chomesh? I'm a Kohen, I'm going to pay anything. So the betting cannot excise from them any monetary payments. Ve'enam holkim ala goren. Which means when they go, get their teruma, they do not go to the garden. They do not divide it at the granary. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain exactly what this means. Umochrin et ha teruma. They can sell the teruma, which means Rashi terumat tivuatan, which means they themselves take teruma from their own produce. Kishem mafreshin ota, when they separate it, and sidichim letita lekohen. They don't have to give the terumah to the Kohen. Techol had amar lekohen aiti ra'aya delav kohen ana. Which means, bring me a ra'aya that I'm not a Kohen. Ushkol. Umikol makom le'okhla yefshar. But they can't eat it because there's a suffix that they're not a Kohen. So what do they do? Ela mochran otan lekohenim v'adim shalim v'damim shalahem. They could sell their own terumah to other Kohanim and take the money and they keep the money for themselves. So again, nobody could tell them that they have to give them the terumah. Prove me, I'm a Kohen myself. But I can't eat it. So I'm not going to do it. I'll sell it, take the money, and the money I can use. Yeah. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah continues. Ma'damim shalahem. Ve'enam cholkim bekodshe hamikdash. Rashi explains over here, en cholkim bekodshe hamikdash kegon orot kadashim. Which means you have a rule, the Kohanim that, let's say, go serve in the Bet HaMikdash, so as a payment for their service, so they get the skins of the animals. So they're not part of it. They cannot go along, let's say, to a certain mishmar, and say, oh, you know, we're part of the mishmar over here, and therefore we want the orot. No, they don't get that. Ve'en notnin lahem kadashim, nor can they serve as Kohanim. I mean, a fellow cannot go to one of these guys over here and bring, give him a korban, and tell them, go sacrifice it for me. That's en notin lahem kadashim. You don't bring them a kadashim. She says, lakriv. Ve'en motziin shelahem midehem. What does that mean? So that she over here has different explanations. Let's read Rashi. Ve'en motziin shelahem miyadam. You do not take what's in their hands from them. Let's read Rashi. Imayu hayavin chatat. Or asham, or ola, they themselves, they have a korban for whatever reason. En kofin otan letiten le'anshem mishmar v'liot avodatam be'oram le'anshem mishmar. Which means normally, as we said, that what when a person comes to bring a korban, who usually brings the korban? The mishmar of that week, right. And that mishmar gets all the skins, etc. However, there is a law that says that a kohen, he himself can bring it himself. It doesn't have to be tied into the specific mishmar of the week. So therefore, as she continues, the cholhad amar ana kohen. Each one can come along and say, listen, I'm a kohen. Vetanya minayin lekohen sheba umakriv korbenotav kol shara shirtze. How do you know the kohen, when he wants to bring his personal korban, he can bring it anytime he wants. Va'afidu b'mishmar she'ero shelo. Even in a mishmar that's not his. Tamud domar uba bechol avat nafsho. Vesheret. Now, uminayin shavodatam be'oram mishmar. How do we know in that case over there he keeps the skins to himself? Tamud omar ve'ishet kadashav lo yehiyu. Oh, v'tarubot alalu nariz. Children that are mixed up. Ho'il v'ayachad mehen kohen. Since one of them is a kohen, en bedim yecholim lehiotzi miyadan ba'al korham ultitam le'anshe mishmar. Betin can't come along and say, hey, listen, you guys, one of you are not a Kohen, I'm taking the skins over here and I'm giving it to the Mishmar of the week. They can't do that. Ela yakribu korbanehem. They bring the korban, obviously not themselves. V'yahzeru lahen basar v'aor. They give him back the meat and they give him back the skins. V'yitenum lechol mi shirtzu. That's one option, which means the basar and the or, and the skins.
And the skins.
Because that's not, we're Kohanim.
Expensive.
We're Kohanim. The skins belong to us. The deen is a regular Kohen, can bring your Korban himself and bring the skins and take the skins himself. You don't got to give it to the Mishmar of the week. So these guys come along and say, we take the basar back. That was a stipulation they made. And we want the skins back. Betin cannot take it out from them. And she then goes on to say, O halalu ya'asu shaliyah. Or let's say they'll come along and appoint a shaliach, kol kohen shiirtzu. They'll pick the kohen that they want. Leklev et korbanam. So that's another option, which means they get the benefit. They'll pick the kohen that brings the korban, and therefore that guy will get the meat, but it's their choice, as opposed to the mishmar of the week. Or as she gives a third option, or yishu et korbanam. Ad shiitrasem l'titan l'ashem mishmar. They'll just wait. They'll wait till they're happy to their mishmar comes around, meaning the mishmar they want to give it to comes around, and then they'll give it to that. So therefore, basically, according to that she's giving you three ways. That bottom line, they're going to give it. They have a tomat hana'ah over here where they don't have to give it to the mishmar of the week. Either they could take it by force from them, and bet they can't do anything, or they could give it to the kohen that they want to be their agent to bring it, or they could wait. They wait till the mishmar that they want comes around, and they'll give it to them.
Waiting, anybody could do. The Rashash points out anybody could wait till the right mishmar comes around. It's not, they don't have.
Correct. That's not specific right for them, but that's another way. In Echrami, Look at that. She says, Lashon, Lashon Acher. She brings another Lashon. Veikar. He likes this one better. En notnim lehem kadashim, which is when it says en notnim kadashim. How did she learn above? You can't bring them animals to sacrifice. According to the Lishna Harira, no. It means, Bebechor v'haramim kamar. Meaning, you have a Bechor. What's the deal of a Bechor? Bechor, you have to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen brings it on the Mizbeah, then he eats the meat. So yeah. Say, these guys are not Kohanim. You don't know if he's a Kohen or not. So you don't give the Bechor to the this Kohen. V'haramim is things that are sanctified as Hekdesh. Ve'en motzi'in et shelahem miyadam. What does it mean? You don't take what's in their hands away from them. De'amar ana kohen. God will say, I'm a kohen. What is it talking? Ve'gabe haramim namet tenan ha-kohanim em ha-harimim she'ha-harimam shelahem. Which means their haramim and their bechor, for example, belongs to them. Nobody can take it away. Ori, ve'adar ori. Then the Mishnah gives the example. My ka'avid bebechor. So what does he do with the bechor? If you kohen has a bechor, right? So you tell him, he says, "Ana kohen, you can't take it away from me." Good. What are you going to do with it? He can't eat it because he's a safek. So the Mishnah is going to tell us in the next lines, "Yireh achi yistaev, let it go graze until it gets a mum, velo yakribenu tam." Now we're not going to let this guy bring the bechor tam when it's shalem. Why? Dimken lo yochal et besaro. You're not going to be able to eat the basar. Because now what's going to happen, he's going to bring the Bechor Tam to the Beit HaMikdash. God that brings it, he's going to keep it to himself. So we want to give a case over here where Kohen has a Bechor. Nobody could tell him to give the Bechor to him. He said, I'm a Kohen. Bechor belongs to me. Yeah, but buddy, you can't eat the Bechor. It's Shalem. Oh, so you know what he'll do? He'll wait till it has a mum. Once it has a mum, the deen is even in Yisrael is able to eat a bechor that has a baal mum, and therefore it's okay. So according to the Shna Harina, it means like this. Don't give the Kohen your bechor, this guy, the Sefek, don't give it to him, because you don't know if he's a Kohen, but his own bechor, you can't take away from him. That's the Shna Harina. Why did Rashi reject the first Lashon? V'la Lashon Rishon Kasheli, Damrinan da gozel teka de lo matzi avid avoda shaliach name lo matzi mashveh. Which means one of the options that as she said in the Nishna Kama was, he'll make a shaliach, this guy, go bring me. You can't do that, because if you can't bring it yourself, you cannot appoint a shaliach. So therefore, that option is not an option. Therefore, as she'd rather take the Nishna Harina. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Ufturim min azeroa umin alehayayim umin akeba. Normally, when a person brings a korban, so those parts over there of the animal go to the kohen. So when he brings his own korban, he's able to keep those parts back for himself. Now you say, how can he eat them? He's allowed to eat them. Because even the Zar is allowed to eat these parts of the Korban. Comes the Mishnah, continues, Ubchoro, what does he do with his Bechor? Which means we said he can keep it himself, he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen. Yeah, but if it's a Bechor Tam, he's not going to be allowed to eat it. So it says, Yeher Ro'eh Ad Sh'yistaev, and the wait till it becomes blemished, now it becomes a Baal Mum, and now it'll be permissible even for him. Look at Ashi, Ashi says, Ubchoro, Yer'eh Ad Sh'yistaev, Afidu Bezman Habayit. Which means you cannot force the guy to go give it to the Kohanim. Obviously they cannot give it to a Kohen. Because what are you going to say? I want the Basar back. What do you mean? It's Bechor Tam. Bechor Tam is not allowed to eat the Basar. So therefore, the bechotam eno neechal el lakoanim dechtiv beubsaram yelecha kaze trufa. And therefore, hilkach yireh ad sheyistaev umutal shochato bemedina yochelenu. Him, they themselves like to eat it. Why? The bechor ba'almum en bo mishum zarut. Ela mishum gezel. What's the problem? Gezel. When it comes to gezel, they'll say, motzi b'chavero ala v'raya, I'm a kohen. So therefore, you have a din like that. You know, you stay. The last part of the Mishnah says, v'notin alev chumre kohanim, v'chumre yisraelim. We put on these fellows the chumrot of kohanim and the chumrot of yisraelim. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain that last part of the Mishnah. Comes the Gemara and says, metu akesherim, which means we said in the first part of the Mishnah, we had a case over here of Tarubot, right? The children that were mixed up. And we call the Vadai children, we call them Kesherim. So this says, Elahanak Mishum De'eruv Lehu Havilu Pesulin. What, the Vadais are called Kesherim, it's Mashmada, you call them Beret Tarubot Pesulin. Why should they be Pesulin? Because you don't know their parents, so it doesn't make them Pesulin. Amara Papa Emma Umetu Havadain. You're right. Don't call them the Kesherim, call them the Vada'in. And therefore, everybody's Kesher over. Just one's a Vada'in, one is a Safek. The Mishnah continued, Levnei Akala Echad Choletz, which means we said when it came to the Bnei Akala, one of them makes a Halitza, and then let's say in the case where we said one of them would make a Yibum. So the Gemara says, Dafka Mechaletz Vadar Yibumeh. Which means first the Halitza must precede the Yibum in these cases. Why? Aval Yibume Beresha lo. But to make Yibum begin there initially, no, why? The Kapaga Bibama Leshuk. Which means because it could be that this is really not his Yavam, and therefore Yavama, therefore he's being Pogeya Bibama Leshuk. Therefore let him make a Halitza first, and then once you make a Halitza, so therefore he got rid of the problem of Yibama Leshuk, and therefore they can make a Yibama to the second lady. Comes the Mishnah and continued. Kohanot Shinetarev. So what did the case had a Kohenet that her child got mixed up with the child of the Shifha? So what do we say? We said Helek Echad. We said so when they go to the Goren, they only get one Helek. When they go to the Goren to get the Terumah, they only get one share. Of course, they just want to get one share. There's only one Kohen over here. So the Gemara says Helek Echad. Peshita. What do you mean, of course? How many halakim you want to give them? At most, there's only one Kohen over here. So the Gemara says, Ema Helek Ke'echad. Or Halek Ke'echad, which means they have to go together. What does this mean, together? It says, Tenan Keman De'amar. This is following the opinion that says, En Cholkin Teruma Le'eved Ela Imken Rabbo Imo. Oh, we have a Shita that says like this. And the Eved is allowed to eat terumah. Let's remind ourselves of that din. Kenyan kaspo.
Right.
So there's no issue over here of eating the terumah. The issue over here is, now when they're going to go to the Goren, so it says they have to go together. That's the Hadush of the Gemara. Which means you have over here this Eved, so one of them at least, and this Kohen. Okay, so now they got mixed up. So they both go to the Goren, and they are going to get Terumah. Now, why do they have to go together? Why can't they go separately? So the Gemara says, "Netanya, we have a braita. In Cholkin Terumah le'eved, you don't give Terumah to an eved, ela imken laboimo, unless his master is with him." Devrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says, "Yachol shiyomar." He's able to go down to the granary and say like this, "Im kohen ani tenuli bishvil atzmi." Listen, if I'm a kohen,
give it to me
because of me. "Vim eved kohen," and if I'm the eved of a kohen ani, tenuli bishvil rabbi, give it because of my master. Which means, according to the Yehuda, I can go down alone and just make that condition to the people giving out the terumah. That's no problem. So now the Gemara says, "Bimkomosh Rabbi Yehuda," in the place of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry, that last case was the case of was Rabbi Yosef Shita. B'mkomot shel Rabbi Yehuda, the place of Rabbi Yehuda, hayu ma'alin mitruma liyuhasin. Which means, in the Rabbi Yehuda's place, when they would go to the granary, they'd see somebody at the granary getting teruma, already that gave me yichus as a kohen. Which means they would marry people off the keunah based on who picked it up. And therefore they were mahmir. Which if you can let this Eved go down alone and pick up his terumah, they're going to hold him that he's Yehus, and he's really not. It's going to be a problem. However, in the place of Rabbi Yosef, they didn't make Yehus based on who picked up the terumah. So if you can even send the Eved, and we're not worried that everyone's going to say, oh, it must be a Kohen if he went down. No, because in this place over there, Yehus wasn't based on who went to the granary. So therefore, it wasn't a problem to send the Eved. So basically, the whole route of this halakha is dependent on what? What status do they give to the person that goes to pick up the terumah? If you're going to give him a status of Yehus, so then we say, you know what? They both have to go down. They both have to go down. The Eved can only go down if the master is with them. So everybody knows over here who the Eved is. They're not going to have a problem. They're not going to be a Hes. But if he goes down, it's going to be a problem. But if anyway, they will never be a Hes, those that went down to the granary. So let him go down alone and get it according to that stipulation that he said. Either I'm getting it because I'm a Kohen, or I'm getting it because my master is a Kohen.
The Mishnah only fits the Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So the Mishnah that said Ke'echad is following Rabbi Yehuda, that says they weren't miyahes them, so therefore you have to take them down. Ke'echad have to go down together, both the Eved and the Kohen.
Kohen can go himself.
Of course.
Kohen. If the Eved wants to go down, he has to go down with the Kohen. Tanya, we have a Braita. Well, in this case over here, the Safik. This case over there is Safek. You don't know who the Kohen and the Zura Eved is. So therefore, in this case, they both have to go down alone, but both together. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok. Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok said, Miyamai lo he'adti ela edut echad. My life only made one testimony, and based on that testimony, ve'elu Eved likehuna. And as a result of my testimony, as a result of my testimony, what happened? They went and they made the Eved
into a Kohen,
marrying into the Kehuna. So the Kabbalah says, what? Al pi he'elus al kadatach?
No, no, no. I've before.
Okay, ve'elu Eved the Kehuna al pi. Okay, and they went and they made an Eved kasher the Kehuna based on my testimony. Good. Kabbalah asks, he'elus al kadatach? Is it possible to say one of the great rabbis made such a testimony, such a takala, such a stumbling block came out of his testimony? Hashtab behemtan shel tzaddikin HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yadav. The animals of the tzaddikim, Borei Olam, doesn't bring a takala al yadav. Like we see different stories of the animals of the hachamim that didn't want to work on Shabbat, or they didn't want to eat things that were not taken to Rumot and Masrot. If the animals of the tzaddikim, Borei Olam protects them, so what's going to be, she says, Hamorosh Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, like the famous story of the Hamor of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, Atzmo, Tzadikin, Atzman, Loko Chekin, certainly God's not going to bring a stomach back to the Tzadikim. So how can you say to a testimony of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, Chas v'shalom, they turned it evident away, and Miyuhas Lekeuna. So Gemara says, Ela Ema, say like this, Bikshu Le'alot Eved Lekeuna. They wanted to, Al Pi, according to his testimony. Why would happen? Tell you about to tell you the details. Hazab atred Rabbi Yosef. So he saw this Eved go down to the granary, but which place was he in? Rabbi Yosef. When Rabbi Yosef's place, they don't ma'ale the kiuna from this. So he sees an Eved going down, so he went back. Ve'azal ve'asid be'atred Rabbi Yehuda. He went and testified in the place of Rabbi Yehuda and said, I saw an Eved go down. I saw a man go down into the granaries. Well, they said, okay, he said it's mutar. But what happened? They found out before a takala would come out. But that's exactly how it happened, which means his testimony wasn't a legitimate testimony, just that he saw it in the Biyosef's place and he testified in the Biyudas would have different standards. And therefore it says that thing ended up happening, which they kept him and evidently were not ma'alehim the keunah. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.